אנחנו approaching the end of the retreat. I'm sure I'm speaking
English.
Yes, I'll speak English. They say funny things in English,
so you can say
laugh together.
So,
we've been here for forever. It seems sometimes probably at some point it may have felt like a long time. And also it was very, very short. As some of you said to us at times, wow, it's beginning and it's already ending. And some of you said, like, wow, Saturday afternoon seems so far away. And so it's both. And even though some of you may, many of you have been here before and have done retreats, and it's like, oh yeah, coming out of retreats, it's like, oh yeah, but still, sometimes we forget how deep we go when we're here and when we're in silence. Just that alone, just being quiet. How, and especially in this retreat, that we were so encouraged to relax, to rest. What happens to the nefesh, to the heart and mind, when it is given a permission to rest? Sometimes so much of the guards what we hold to protect ourselves. So much of it just kind of like without our efforting, just on its own, by itself, a little bit goes down without us being even aware. And it's lovely. And also we are approaching the time that we go out to the rest of the world, and the rest of the world was not on a retreat. So, not necessarily was putting down some guards. And so we want to be gentle with ourselves. So we want to continue with this gentle approach and gentle gisha to ourselves by paying extra care, taking extra care, for instance, with our relationship today and tomorrow with men's best friend, men's new best friend, the cell phone. And maybe you've already encountered the exciting meeting. Maybe you're already tempted to turn it on. And maybe you've noticed, wow, what it feels like to suddenly see and have messages. And some of you may have felt like, oh, I don't want it. I want it to stay away. I don't want the world to come in. And some of you may have felt, oh, I'm excited. Yeah, what's going on in the world? What did I miss? But either way, you know, it's fine. Just extra care when you go out driving. And maybe there's a line of cars behind you beeping and you don't understand why, and then you see that you're going 60 miles an hour. So just continuing this caring for ourselves and for what's what is gentle in us and what needs and wants our care. That is continuing with what we are talking about here, which is what's important. How important is it that I look at all my emails today? How important is it that I answer all my emails today? And in this retreat, we've been reminded, or been asked, or been turning our faces to what's important. So to continue and nurture that. So coming out of the retreat gently and with care.
there a question? At the moment of having been in silence and being about to come out of silence, is it a good chance to feel the power of words coming in and going out? So even though it can be uncomfortable to be as sensitive as you are, now, the sensitivity can start to be helpful, and that's really one of the key ways to getting into the way that has harmony, is that our sensitivity, rather than freaking out, starts to be able to be responsive. So we can practice letting the sensitivity feel the power of words. And feel for the timing of words and the tone of words, not just the word. In the teaching that I mentioned yesterday afternoon from Gautam Buddha about his encouragement to pursue that happiness, basically, meditative happiness. Happiness sort of undeserved. Not because we got what we wanted. In the same teaching, what he's talking about, the title of the teaching now is Explanation of Non-Conflict. So one of his recommendations to live towards non-conflict, in other words, harmony. He likes to use negatives. Non-conflict doesn't sound so... It's hard to... What? Doesn't sound as good as it is. And in the same teaching, he talks a lot about words, about speaking especially. And he also talks about how we speak and think about what works and what doesn't work. So it doesn't work well when we hurt ourselves. So sometimes there are spiritual practices that are mostly about hurting myself. How much pain can I take, kind of thing. And we lean towards that sometimes, in different ways. And then there's spiritual and other practices that lean towards just trying to get what I want. And he said, no, that doesn't work. That's all. But if I get involved in saying, those people who hurt themselves trying to get liberated are wrong. Or those people who hurt themselves trying to get money are right. That doesn't work. And it's just a really simple distinction that we can make in the words and in the thinking and in the feeling, in the experiencing. What works and doesn't work. And then the slight and important difference when the mind goes, those people are right or wrong. Okay, so that's one tip. It's just noticing the difference. and how it's not, it doesn't help to say they are right or wrong. That way works well or doesn't work well at all. Our tendency and our training is to say they. And also inside myself. It's me, like, it's not just that things didn't work out well, but it's my fault. Or my pride. And it gets us off track. Completely. When we make it personal like that. He also suggested to notice how speaking sharply doesn't usually work. And I think we apply it, if we can apply it first to our thinking. And if we could just notice that thinking sharply, you know what that means? In a way that cuts, like a knife, doesn't work out very well. It's not wrong, it just doesn't work. Also, speaking secretly very rarely is needed, he says. So he says, if there's something to say that's true and accurate and helpful, and the only way to do it is sharply, very rarely that could work out. Otherwise it doesn't work out well. So not because it's wrong, not because you're wrong, not because they're wrong. It just doesn't work. And something could be true and accurate and helpful, and the only way in a certain situation is that it be said in secret. Okay. And I think even that's important, but even more important is with our thinking. Noticing how much of the thinking is sharp and how we value sharp thinking. And how rarely is it true, first of all, from the very beginning. It's usually not true when it's sharp. It's usually not accurate when it gets so sharp that it loses its accuracy. We're trying for accuracy to be so sharp. And we get so sharp, we lose accuracy, we lose touch with reality in our love of the sharpness. And then, whether it's helpful, very rare. So again, it's not wrong, but it doesn't work. So we can kind of keep letting that fall apart and leave room for something else to grow. Like when a tree falls down in the forest, there's room for something else to grow. Another way of speaking and thinking. And then he talks about speaking hurriedly, in a hurry. He doesn't just say speaking fast, speaking in a hurry. We would call it stress. But it could be cool to think about thinking in a hurry, or thinking not in a hurry, unhurriedly. And again, he said, something could be true and accurate and helpful, and occasionally it would be appropriate that it needs to be said in a hurry. Or we need to think in a hurry. And so from this, if we could kind of get the feeling of just the possibility opening out, such a different way from what we know, of speaking unhurriedly, unsharply, unsecretly, and even better, maybe even more important, if the thinking could come out of hiding, lose its sharpness, and chill out. Instead of like, stop the thinking, which is kind of hurried thinking and sharp. Just let it find a way to be unhurried. So I'd like to give a chance now to play with speaking. Does it work to get in a room? Or is it too much? I don't know what's usually possible. Let's try getting into a round of some kind, an amoeba. Just a chance to feel how it is to be in this different configuration, different shape. And also to feel maybe, wow. Such a simple situation, not doing much, 48 hours later. It's a different room. Just to honor the simple human willingness to be here. And being open to your time here feeling if there's something that especially kind of floats to the top as being most precious or important, or what a growing edge might be, or where you feel really lost, which might be the same thing as precious growing edge. And especially what maybe you know your life could live all around that center. And it could come to mind as a moment, memory, or a sensation, or a word, or an image. Could be a technique. Could be that you found that that time of day, being awake at 2 o'clock in the morning, or eating breakfast in silence, or going on a walk at that time of day or night. Could be anything. So it's partly to start to feel all the different threads that have been part of this event, acknowledging that those threads are weaving into a different shape, and your experience will also respond accordingly. It's not like your fault that the mind state changes with the situation. That's me. But what out of all those factors feels most sustaining, enriching, releasing, whatever? And then if anyone feels to say that one word, hopefully loud enough to be heard, that would be lovely for us.
So feel free.
Sandhya is saying maybe it wasn't clear what to say. Easy, hard. A word that might express either something that's a growing edge for you, or what you know to be, that's the center of my life. When I die, I'll be glad I lived everything around that, from toothbrushing to going to work to whatever comes around and after that. Or that technique of feeling the feet, that was good, so you could see feet, for example, and feet of the feet. Or a moment comes to mind, and it was that bird. That enough to go on? Please feel free. If you're about to have a heart attack, you can either say the word, like early on, and also feel free, you don't have to say the word.
We'd love to hear it,
but you don't have to.
Ah, so I can broadcast.
Mm-hmm. Ordinariness. Light.
Yeah.
Gratitude.
Which one? fruitfulness. Singing. Singing together.
Aliveness.
Speaking of aliveness, our kitchen beloveds are coming in now.
Angels.
Toda hova. Fulfillment. Good. Waves. Letting go. Breathe. Anyone else? In case you would regret not saying, feel free. Trust.
Gentle listening.
Gentle listening.
Leaving the room. Leaving the room.
Leaving your room.
The room.
Leaving room.
Roller coaster.
Roller coaster. Leave another minute or two in case any words pop.
Joy.
And meanwhile, just feeling, even if there's not a word that wants to come out, feeling that. Letting it be. Feeling what is growing, which means not yet fully formed, not yet expert, not yet finished. The aliveness of that state. What's important, and the response in your being to what's important. And also the importance of starting to feel what supports you to embody that, to live that, to put it into practice. So that your momentum in your practice keeps growing. That much support. Because this is your life. Right? Or at least it's not somebody else's. There's a chance that you might feel like this, it's so simple, and it can start to creep in that you should be able to do it better without any help. And so then you don't have enough help. And then you forget to meditate, and then, oh yeah, I better go on retreat again. Which is better than not going on retreat again. And lucky you, how many retreats you can choose from. My goodness. So go on retreat again, and also, what helps you really live it? So it's like in the garden at first, and sometimes always, there needs to be some kind of fence so that the little plants can get started. And sometimes we just keep the fence because there's always some plants getting started, even once the trees got established. And so even if the wild pigs got in, the trees will be okay. But aren't there usually some plants just starting? However expert you are, may there always be some plants just starting. Just for the love of sprouting and diversity, thoroughness, freedom, like free to keep taking over, not just your mind, but your life. One of the main supports is your own, what you do every day. We usually call it practice, but then that makes us think of sitting on a cushion, which is fine. And now hopefully it makes you think of lying on a cushion also as another option, which is also fine. But that's not enough. So a daily practice of formal meditation, meaning maybe you lie down, so that could be formal. For a certain amount of time. But that's not enough for your own heart. Your own heart loves wildly, not only for 30 minutes a day. So what else? When else? So it's partly what other techniques work well for you, if you like the loving kindness practice, such as we did today, for example, do it on the bus. How's that? Do it on the toilet. How's that? Do it as you're falling asleep. How's that? Do it when you wake up. How's that? And also let it be creative, like not just the tradition or the way Jaya did it. But that same loving kindness that the technique uncovered, the genuine, what does it do? Let it do it. Getting out of the way. And with practice, it's great when that one time of letting practice get out of the way and letting love do. It's very complete and fulfilling and enough and good. But do it, let it happen again. It's kind of a trick about practice. There's a timelessness that can be confusing. When I say I meditate every day, sometimes we're just checking off our list that I sat still or lay still for 40 minutes. We're not actually meditating. There. Maybe we're meditating when we play guitar or when we walk with the dog. And we call that walking the dog. The mind will tell you, and also most people will tell you, that you don't have time. And you do have time. And let it be like a treasure hunt to find your own time back for your life. And also let your practice invade everything. You're at work. What is possible to do there? Whether it's, okay, 30-second meditation twice a day. You can't say no to that, I'm sorry. You could say no only once a day, okay. Or when it's lunchtime, you go outside and look at a tree. Or if there's not a tree, look at the sky. And taste your food. And let the world talk to you. The world, the creatures of the world need us to listen. And we need to listen to them. And need to talk to them. We really need each other. And we might as well. And even in the city, there's creatures. But mainly it's that easy, hard work of finding what are your practices, which means what are the ways that you're called upon that is joyful, that's happy, with concern, with depth and fruit, and the pursuit of that brings happiness and pleasure, and that's why we don't do it. So breaking through that barrier, doing it. What are those things for you? Lie down and rest, sit and be at ease with the breath, great. And what do you love to do? Lie in the hammock, so lie in the hammock. Stand on your headstand. And then there comes a time where you need less support. And that's also hard. It's just as hard as giving enough support when we need enough support. More talking to teachers, more meditation, more strict about 40 minutes a day before I go to work. Because after work I never get around to it. Or whatever it works for you. Whatever it works for. Then your practice does get that momentum. And it's time for less support. Less structure. So, don't miss enough support phase and don't miss less support, no support phase. Are there any questions? Or anything to share?
After a while, it isn't nice. It's like we have a tree that needed a guard around it when it was half a meter tall, 1 meter tall, 2 meters tall, 3 meters tall, 4 meters tall, okay, still fine. At a certain point, it hurts the tree to have the guard. It will hurt you to hear my meditation instructions at some point, and we'll celebrate. Because your own voice is more your food that you need. And also in a group, I'm doing my best to tune in to what, and we do our best to tune in. What's good enough for more people? Our best guess. It's not going to be good for everyone. And we're sorry about that. We accept that fact about being in a group. And we kind of say from the beginning, hopefully, like, here we are together. Forgiveness already. And you feel what resonates with you and go with that, please. Not only because of my imperfect transmission of what I feel, my own best guessing, but we are in a group. And maybe someone urgently needs loving kindness, fully guided meditation this morning. Maybe no one needed it. But someone didn't need it. And I'm sorry. Maybe I'm guessing that probably at least 2 people.
And also it may not be linear. I'm adding it may not be linear. Love you have it linear. Sometimes we need a lot of support, and then we don't need so much, and then we think, oh, that's it, I'm there. I've graduated. And then, oh my God, I need support again.
Great. That's one of the most important things we can give as advice from experience. Is one of the dangers of doing more meditation is that your expectations of yourself will go up with time. The first day on retreat, oh, I'm a little spaced out, I'm really tired, that's okay. She told me to rest, okay. The third day of retreat, the fifth day of retreat, I'm tired? What? I'm not allowed to be tired. And then the fifth year, how could I be a mess? How can I be so the same reaction? 20 years, after 20 years of meditation. That reactive compulsion habit, it's killer. And it's not true or accurate or helpful. It's just sharp. There's a lot of ways that actually we only through the strength of our meditation practice can allow ourselves to be such a mess and really know we need help and be receptive to it. Otherwise, partly at the beginning, we're hoping the meditation is going to help protect me from myself. That stuff that I hope I never have to look at or feel or whatever. That I actually don't even really know about. So. But yeah, in general, it's so good to have good people. Yeah. Anyone of the team want to say anything? I don't. No, just in case.
Thank you very much for loving on it.
So I said a lot about you in the Dhamma talk. Those in the kitchen who were in this room and outside, but you weren't here. So thank you.
Very, very good.
Someone in the side said the food was very, very good. Mayor, 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 dog. And even more good, which is saying a lot, that like a heart of giving. So supportive for us and all. So thank you. And also, I want to thank you, and I love this situation. I haven't touched the gifts that you gave to Sandhya and me. I haven't, much less counted them. I haven't had it in my hand yet. Thank you so much. It really makes life go around. It allows me to really give as much energy as is needed, which is a lot, between retreats, for the organizing, to be with my kids, to be with the garden, to do my own practice, to get the car fixed, and then to be here with you. So, thank you. From us.
להצטרף גם לתודות, ונוסף למה שגאיה הזכירה, אז התרגול שלנו, למשל אני נוסעת בסוף החודש, הייתי גם בחורף לחודש תרגול באנגליה, ובעצם יש מעט מאוד מקומות בעולם שהתרגול הוא לגמרי בדנה, כמו שתורנה מאפשרת. למשל המקום שאני נמצא עליו שהוא מאוד מאוד מומלץ, גאיה האוס, הוא לא בדנה. אז הדנה שלכם ממש באופן ישיר תומכת בתרגול שלי, שאני יכולה לנסוע לתרגל. אז אני אחשוב עליכם. מה אמרתי? אני מתרגמת למשהו אחר. אני רוצה להצטרף לקריאה של ג'איה לתמיכה, ושלא צריך לעשות את זה לבד. אנחנו לא נקבל יותר נקודות כשנגיע לשם, לבורא עולם, אז יש וכמו שבנדלן, שחברה נדלניסטית, היא אומרת, יש שלושה דברים שהם הכי חשובים בנדלן. לוקיישן, לוקיישן, לוקיישן. אז בתרגול בבית יש שלושה דברים שהם הכי חשובים. צמיחה, צמיחה וצמיחה. לא צריך לעשות את זה לבד. ובאתר של תורנה יש המון המון פעילויות. הכל רשום שם זה אפילו לשפע מקורף, כמו שאומרים. ואני רוצה לדבר ספציפית על דבר אחד שהוא מאוד מאוד משמעותי בעיניי, וזה קבוצות ישיבה. כמעט בכל עיר ואין בישראל כיום יש קבוצת ישיבה, שזה אומר אנשים כמונו כמוכם שפשוט נפגשים ביחד פעם בשבוע, זה בדנה, זה ללא התחייבות. לתרגל ביחד. חלק מהקבוצות זה עם מורים, למשל עם בעל כאן שמשתתפת בקורס, יש לה ומורה, והן שתיהן בירושלים. בכלל, יש פה המון ירושלמיות וירושלמים, אז אני מציעה שתעשו את הקישור בסוף הקורס, תפגשו אחד עם השני. ויש קבוצות, כמובן, יש בחיפה, יש קבוצות, שוב כמו שאמרתי, עם הורים, יש בלי הורים, ובתל אביב אני רוצה להזכיר, יש את בית הסנגה, סנגה זה לצורך העניין, אנחנו, הצמיחה, התרגול, הקבוצה המתרגלת, הקהילה, החברותה, הנדיבות שלנו אחד לשני, והדירה הזאת בתל אביב ניתנה ב... נדיבות הלב בתרומה של אחת מתרגלות המורות בתורנה של רמי עובדיה. אז את זה שיש תובנה מרכז כזה בתל אביב, זה מתוך נדירות עצמה. יש שם המון המון פעילויות, אז כל מי שבאזור תל אביב, אין לכם תירוץ. כל יום השבוע אני חושב, תמיד יש בבוקר, בערב, יש דברים עושים. תבואו ותתמכו. תמצאו דרכים, תמצאו אנשים אחרים שהם like-minded, שהם הולכים בדרך כמוכם, כי הרבה מאיתנו, הסביבה הקרובה שלנו לא כל כך מבינה מה זה הדבר המשונה הזה שאנחנו עושים, במקרה הטוב, במקרה ממש טוב שאנחנו קוקוי. אז למצוא אנשים שהם גם קוקויים כמוכם יחד, להיות קוקויים ביחד, ולתמוך אחד בשני, עד שאתם תבואו לקבוצות וגם לתמוך באנשים האחרים. ויש עוד המון דברים, אבל אני לא אפרט, כי זה הכל באתר של תבונה, יש כל מיני קבוצות, כמו שיש דרמה שמעורבת חברתית, של דרמה ואקטיביזם, ויש במקרה בדיוק קורס במקביל כאן, יש דרמה לחולי סרטן ולמשפחות המתמודדות עם סרטן, יש דרמה חוכמת ההזדקנות בגיל הזהב, כולם מוזמנים, גם גיל 19, ויש גם בנדר מהצעירים. באמת יש המון קבוצות והמון יוזמות, אז תסתכלו באתר. אני רוצה רק עוד שתי הערות. אחת, שסוף שבוע זה ממש ממש טעימה על קצה המזלג. אז לדעת שיש עוד הרבה to be unfold, יש עוד המון דברים שקורים ורק התחלנו לגעת בהם כאן, אז ממש ממש רק תאימונת, אז תבואו, זמנים להמשיך לבוא ולבוא לקורסים גם יותר ארוכים. וכוכבית שנייה זה שהתברכנו כאן במורה עם גישה מאוד מאוד מיוחדת, ובעולם הבודיסטי שלנו אפילו רדיקלית, ויכול להיות שתבואו לקורסים אחרים בתובנה, אז לא מיד להישחב בעולם. לבדוק איזה סוג פרקטיס הקורס הספציפי שלנו.
Or just do lie down.
You get the recommend.
So I didn't remember to mention ways to stay in touch with me, but it's on the notice board, so please look. There's a newsletter, there's a chance for one-to-one Skype meetings, and there's also a lot of Dharma talks and guided meditations that you can download on a donation basis from my website, to name a few. So again, as we come towards the last short meditation, 15-minute meditation, just again getting the feeling of
maybe after.
The feeling of what's happened in the weekend, of really a kind of cooperation and willingness. of your own practice, your willingness to kind of be here, your willingness also to help in the work meditation. The kitchen, of course, the managers, of course, Noah with the yoga. Thank you very much. The people who allowed us to be here also, including my kids. And maybe just feeling for that place in yourself of willingness. Willingness to let the wall down between you and the world, your anger, your mind, your feet. Just letting the wall down, or feeling through the walls. A willingness to be with the whole, the wholeness of it. The wholeness of the broken heart, the wholeness of the scattered mind, the wholeness of the bent body. The wholeness of breathing in and out. Leaving room for anything and everything, including what's harder to feel, more subtle, light touch. Like the end of the out-breath. And leaving room also including gratitude, maybe towards yourself, towards life, towards the, this happened. The breath happening by itself. Mind and emotion happening by themselves. But what else? What else is here? May the heart be grateful, the life fulfilled. May all beings live in harmony. And may our lives and practice be devoted into momentum towards liberation for all.